The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hey, I'm Leslie from Minnesota, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 480 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mike. How's everything going with you?
Everything is going well. Our co-host in crime is a little under the weather, so we will be trying to do her proud today, and I'm sure she'll be back for a big, big, big show that's coming up.
Which I'll be away for.
You will be away
for,
trading
too? Yeah, I'm going to be in Indianapolis when we record that show, so I will be away.
I will not be here either. I will be in Boston.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So Michelle's on her own?
She's on her own.
All right. Good luck to her.
It's probably going to be the highest rated show.
Of course. Finally, they got the only person they really want to listen to on the show.
Yeah. So I understand you're a Dole Whip man now, huh?
Yeah. So I went ahead and I took the plunge and I picked up some of the Dole Whip mix on Amazon, as well as a soft serve ice cream maker, and today was the first test of that device, and so it came out well. If you at home are missing that Dole Whip, I think the package for the Dole Whip mix is about $29, and it makes, I think they said, about 90 servings of Dole Whip, and the ice cream maker is about $100. So for that amount of money, you can make an awful lot of Dole Whips for your summer if you're missing Disney, and it actually tastes really great. I got to work with the mix a little bit, but for me, for about 4 to 6 servings, I took a cup and a third of the mix, two cups of water, and I made 6 servings. And I think I might have to cut back on the mix a little bit, but it was delish. Mike, you would be in heaven if that were up in your neck of the woods.
Well, you never know. You never know. I'll give it a shot. There was a place around here where we live that actually served Dole Whip, and I remember receiving an email from a listener on that. I never really checked it out, but I don't think anything beats homemade.
You know? Yeah. I mean, nothing beats being at Disney in the parks, the heat. I'd said it was like 50 degrees and rainy today, so it wasn't like the best time to have a Dole Whip, but yeah. This was the testing phase. So when summertime rolls around, we'll be good. And I was actually thinking, so I made it with I made the Dole Whip with the little pineapple juice in there. I actually have some pineapple rum, and I thought maybe we could make this an adult beverage here down, at times. So we can play with our recipes as we go. So I'll fill in the audience and you as time goes on and I try new things. So.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you will. And if you ever perfect that, you should, have 4 to 6 of those and then come on the show and we'll record. That would be interesting.
That'll be fun.
So if
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you come up with a song, I'll come up with a shout out and then we'll introduce our special guest.
Yeah. So today's is Saturday in the Park by Chicago, which is a fun tune. An old ditty, song. So I thought maybe you'd like it.
Yes, this old ditty. That's probably in the 70s, that song?
Yeah, Chicago. Wow. Yeah.
That's cool. A good,
so what's your tip?
Good choice. Well, I don't have a tip. I have a shout-out because I'm trying to attribute to Michelle. She's not here, but I want to make sure that we give a shout-out. We're going to give a shout-out to Deanna Young. She and her husband, Randy, just gave birth to their second daughter. And they named her Mia.
Randy, you what?
Mia. Mama Mia. So her name is Mia Young. Mia Young, get it?
Congratulations,
Randy and Deanna. And they are both, they're very avid Mickey Miles and More listeners. They are runners. They are planning to run the 5K, 10K, and half marathon during the Disneyland half marathon weekend this summer. I know Deanna is a little nervous about training. I'm sure she'll have to
she'll
look
make
at
it. She'll, be
she'll
fine.
Make it, but she's probably thinking about how she's got a toddler, she's got a newborn. She's a physician, and she's obviously a wife and a mom. So we wish her the best of luck, and we're sure, Deanna, that you will do well. So here's a shout-out to both you and Randy and Mia. Congratulations and good luck. Mm-hmm. Now, it is my pleasure to bring on board a friend. Actually, he's a New Englander. He is an independent vacation planner. He is associated with MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, and his name, and a lot of you may know him, his name is Steve Cantafio. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of the show today.
Likewise, I'm sure. So we brought Steve on because we've been going around, and I mean, I've been doing podcasting for a while, and I don't think we've actually done anything like this. And we asked Steve to come on to talk about how you would work with a vacation planner if you were planning a Run Disney weekend. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, oh, I know how to do that. I've done it myself. And I'm sure you've all done really well. But there are times when I think, wow, could I have done this better? Are there things that I miss out? And if you are a vacation planner, you're doing this constantly, you know, West Coast and East Coast. So we decided to have Steve come on and have him give us an idea as to, you know, what we need to do if we were going to work with a vacation planner. So Steve, I guess my first question is, if I were to contact a vacation planner to help me plan for a Run Disney weekend, what kind of information should I have in my hands before I even call you up?
Well, you know, I think anytime you're going to deal with a vacation planner, you're always going to want to have the basic questions laid out there, the who, the what, the where, the when, all of that type of stuff. It just makes it a little bit easier to work together. And as you said, Mike, it's one of those things where so many people have like, oh, I've done this before. You know, why do I need a vacation planner? But sometimes there's just nuances, especially when you're dealing with the Run Disney weekends. If you're a first-time runner, you may not know what is in store for you. You know, there's a lot of restrictions, and sometimes there are just some things that are unique that even the most seasoned Disney person just doesn't really expect. So, you know, I think the first question out of the gate that I always ask a potential client is, you know, what's the purpose of your Run Disney trip? Is it solely the run, or are you going to try to make a vacation into it as well? So I think that's the first thing I kind of want to ask you guys.
Nice. Well, so, okay. So we sort of have the basic information. It's family, right? So it's not just the runner. Sometimes it's the family. What benefit do I get by going? Now, I know the answer because I work with you guys for years now, with Becky especially. What benefits can I get by having you to take care of my trip for me?
Yeah, so I think the first thing there, Chris, is the subtle differences between what a lot of people think of as a travel agent from back in the day versus what a vacation planner is today. You know, I would think that a true vacation planner is kind of like a concierge. You know, it's somebody that is just going to help you with all the specifics of your trip and just really being, you know, somebody that's on your side and almost acts as the liaison between Disney and yourself. So I think that's the first thing, is just the education that somebody has, you know. And then there's a lot of other specialties that a good travel agent is going to offer you as well, as far as like, if you know, when you use somebody like MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, you're going to have the group rates that are set aside for hotels, ticket discounts, and just kind of being part of the Run Disney community. You know, that's how Mike and I met each other back close to 10 years ago, was through the old Team All Ears days. So I think that's kind of like where the relationships kind of start, and that's what the vacation planners could insist with.
Okay, wait, so I got to stop you right now. Go back, because you glossed right over it. Explain the discount rates, because I will say for a fact, the rates that I get when I go do a Run Disney event through your travel agency is amazing. And I've had people who came in late were telling me the prices they paid for hotels. So tell me about this discount rate that you get for block rates.
Yeah, so you know, these are things that we work on as an agency. Sometimes it's more than a year in advance. So I know for the 2018 Marathon Weekend in Walt Disney World, I want to say that we had some of these rates set up close to 13 months in advance. Now, typically, it's only going to be for the hotel itself because 2018 vacation package rates aren't even available through Walt Disney World yet. You know, those typically come out sometime in the late spring, early summer. But for people that have a very specific hotel that they want to stay at, we've been able to book people for months now. And as with any sort of room block that people are familiar with, that's be it on a cruise or for, you know, if you're traveling abroad for a wedding and the bride and groom set aside rooms like that, there's always going to be like a recall date as well. Because if we can't sell the rooms by a certain period of time, it's going to go back to Disney to try to sell. These are sometimes pretty significant discounts, and it may not be at every single one of the 25-plus resorts, but I could tell you specific to the Marathon coming up, you know, there's probably about 12 resorts that we've got a block set aside with.
Steve, when you're talking with when we think about these race weekends, do you feel that the first thing on the agenda is to have the clients register for the race before they contact you? Or do you think they should contact you before they register for the race?
I think that's like a catch-22 there, yeah, Mike. Yeah. I would say in the Run Disney heyday, when you were seeing races sell out in 15, 20 minutes, you know, that's when I would say, you know, you might as well try to get the registration first. That, you know, that being said, you know, all of these rooms are fully refundable. So there's really not a lot of risk involved because the deposit itself is only going to be the one night's stay, including tax. And, you know, and that's based on your standard double occupancy rates as well. But nowadays, I would say, you know, as I mentioned before, if we have a room block set aside 12, 13 months in advance and you've got your heart set on a resort, you might as well get that taken care of because the Run Disney registration may not take place for a few months after that.
Yeah, the registrations usually are 9 months prior to the actual race weekend. So you would have the room block probably set before the registration even opens. So like you said, yeah, it's one night's deposit, and it's you've got plenty of time to say, well, I didn't get in and I'm not going, so, you know, let's cancel it. So
right. Well, even if you think about the Star Wars light side over at Disneyland, they stopped registration before it started, and they're pushing it off. We don't even know when it's going to start kicking in, but you want to make sure you have that hotel room ready to go before, just in case. So,
yeah,
you know, it's always good to know that you can get in there, right, Steve?
Well, especially for Disneyland, Chris, because you're only dealing with a couple Disney resorts. Mm-hmm. You know, Disneyland's a little different because you've got all the good neighbor hotels in that Anaheim area. But I know a lot of times, especially for the three of us that are East Coasters, if we're going to go all the way cross country, and that may be the first the first time in a long time that we've been to Disneyland, you know, a lot of times people try to stay at one of those resorts. So the supply is much, 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 much smaller. So I would definitely recommend getting those resorts if that's what's important to you.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I want a nice place for pasta the night before the race. Can you help me out with that?
With a last name like Cantafio, I can guarantee it's not going to be an Olive Garden, Chris. How about that?
All right. So is that something you guys do?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that as things have changed with Disney and, you know, once again with Walt Disney World using the My Disney Experience, things have become much, much more electronic. You know, back in the day, it was easier for a travel planner just to call in or make the reservations online. But nowadays, it's a little bit more difficult to link the reservations just because of the, you know, how the way everything is kind of communicated. Some people like to do that planning themselves. They just really want the vacation planner to make the reservation, and they'll deal with everything else. So in those respects, Chris, we're going to be able to offer advice, recommendations. You know, I think it would also be important when you get back to the running aspect is just try to explain to people the times, because you're probably not going to want to have that 8 o'clock Via Napoli ADR and then think you're going to get up at 3 a.m. the next day.
Right. Yeah. One of the advantages you have, Steve, is that you are a runner and you've experienced a lot of these race weekends. So you know what to tell the novice runner who is coming for his or her very first race weekend. And so I was going to ask you, because of what you know and how things go, and do you when someone says to you, I'm really excited, I would like to do my first Run Disney race, and I also want to combine it with a vacation for my family, what type of suggestions do you give this first time runner so that the experience, both the running experience and the vacation experience with his or her family, turn out to be, you know, as best as possible? What kind of advice do you give them?
Yeah. So I think you're leading me into the perfect lead in there, Mike, as far as the what to do and what not to do.
You got it.
You know, it's one of those things that sometimes you have to take your own personal experiences out of the equation. You know, I always say that, you know, giving people advice about Disney is kind of like when you're pregnant for the first time and people are like, you know, here's some advice about being a parent. You know, everybody's got their own opinion. So you got to like take it with a grain of salt. But in my personal experience, it's very, very tricky to do, may it be at your first Run Disney experience or combining it with the vacation, and definitely not the two together.
Right.
It just makes it so tricky. And I'll give you a quick example. I would say it was about 6 years ago, myself, my wife Bethany, and our kids Carter and Riley, we all went down for marathon weekend. And the kids, they started off and they did the Mickey Mile, you know, over at the Wide World of Sports. And they mm-hmm. both did it together. And that was their very first Run Disney event. And then my wife Bethany, the next morning, she did her very first half marathon. So that was tied up. Then the next day, I'm running the marathon. So that was virtually 3 full days where we couldn't really vacation.
Right.
You know, even the kids' race, you know, because as you know, Wide World of Sports isn't very centrally located.
Nope.
For the kids to run that race, which took them 20 minutes, it probably took us 3 hours out of our day.
Yeah.
And even the day that Beth was running her half marathon, that's the day before my marathon. So I'm kind of focused on my own thing. So to your point, Mike, I think that you just need to set those expectations up front. Or a lot of times what I'd recommend to people is do the run up front and then worry about your vacation. But
yeah.
Don't try to do the both at the same time.
Yeah, I've been very honest with people, and especially when we're talking with families where only one person is running, be it the mom or the dad, I have said you either get two rooms – you know, for the period of during the race nights or whatever. Let's say somebody's doing dopey. Well, dad, if you're doing the dopey, you should be have your own room for those 4 nights and have the
right.
family have the rest of the room. Or what you do is you say, have the family fly down on the day of the last race. And then so all the races are behind you, then you can have some vacation time. But
yeah.
I agree with you. Doing both is just so... I mean, you're juggling so much, and it's going to be frustrating. It's not a vacation. It's more like a job.
Right. Well, I'll give you another bit of advice there, Mike. If you are going to try to combine something, that's when you go back and you start to have the honest conversation with the client as far as, well, what type of accommodation do you want? I know a lot of times I'll see people go into like a one-bedroom or some sort of villa on Disney property, because the person who's going to get up early for a certain race, they might sleep in the living room on the sofa or the fold-away couch or something like that,
mm-hmm.
just so they don't disturb people with that 2:30, 3 a.m. wake-up call. So that's a good idea as well.
So you can have unless you have teenage boys like Chris who just sleep through World War III, you know?
Yeah, I was right there.
Either yeah, that or they're probably still up from the night before when you're getting up, right, Chris?
Yeah, you know, we were doing – so we just did the dark side in Disney World, and the kids were out like at the parks until like 11 o'clock. We were sleeping early. We were up at 3 o'clock in the morning. We got back, and they were still sleeping. When they become teenagers, don't worry about it too much because they'll just sleep through anything. A bomb could have gone off in that hotel room, and they wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve. So. Hey, Steve. When you talk with a client for the first time, or again another first timer, do you keep hearing the same type of oversights or things that they don't consider when they're going down for their first time in a race weekend? I mean, anything that comes to the surface of your mind, you know, that keeps popping up over and over again.
I would say one of the common I don't want to call it a misconception, but maybe oversight, as you stated, is I think quite often people don't realize how far in advance you should probably head down there. And there's a couple reasons for that. You know, we're all Northeasterners. If we're training for our long runs in the winter time, I know I'm doing my longest run sometime in the middle of December when it's about -5 degrees out.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of these, do as I say, not as I do. I traveled down once for a half marathon the night before, you know, tried to kind of rush in, did everything at the expo, got my number. By the time I woke up the next morning, I wasn't even in Orlando for 12 hours, and my body just didn't adjust to the heat and the humidity. So I think that's more of a physical type recommendation. But going back just to the vacation planning itself, stuff happens. The mechanical breakdowns of airplanes, or if you're driving and, you know, God forbid, you're stuck and, things like that are going to happen where you might as well give yourself the extra day just to not worry about those types of things.
Yeah, you can train as much as you can, but you never know when weather or mechanical situation kind of throws a wrench into everything, and you have to be flexible. You have to be ready for that. And if you can do whatever you need to do to make contingency plans, or at least be smart enough or sharp enough to say, I'm going to give myself a little bit of a buffer here just in case things happen, it's probably the smartest thing to do. And unless you have the experience of seeing this, and we know that over the last 2 or 3 years there have been crazy things going on, that doesn't hit your mind. So for instance, if you're going down for a race, you want to get there on the morning of the first day the expo is open. Is that what you're recommending to your clients?
Yeah, I would say, depending on the race they're doing, at least I would say 24 hours in advance. So if you're doing the half marathon, which would typically be on a Saturday, I would say you'd want to head down there maybe Thursday night at the latest. You might be able to get a full day of work in, and then when you're able to, wake up on Friday morning and head over to the expo, at least you still got that full day to not worry about things like that.
When we're talking Run Disney races, what type of differences are there when it comes to your recommendations to your clients regarding East Coast races versus West Coast races?
So you mean like time of year or weather, or, you know, what are you asking about exactly there, Mike?
Well, I think that you bring up a good point, because in Walt Disney World and in Disneyland, there are two races on each coast that take place during the winter months. Mm-hmm. So let's start off with Walt Disney World. We have the Marathon Weekend in January, and then we have the Princess Half Marathon Weekend in February. What type of additional recommendations do you offer your clients who are thinking about traveling during those race weekends?
Yeah, so I would say for the winter ones on the East Coast, you know, obviously you the only option for a full marathon, actually on both coasts, is going to be in Orlando in January. I think one of the interesting aspects of that is it's really, really, really close to post-holiday season. So you've got people going through Christmas and New Year's. And then I want to say, I think marathon weekend starts on like the 7th this year. It's really early because of where Martin
Luther King. 3rd, I think.
Is it that? Yeah.
It's even that earlier.
Yeah, Martin Luther King Day is, I think it's the 3rd Monday. So however the schedule, the calendar falls, that's why the last couple marathon weekends have been so early in January. So sometimes people just have to plan accordingly because kids are barely back into school and, you know, once again, life kind of happens. For that reason, the February one tends to be a little bit more easygoing. It's not as crowded. There's not a bunch of rigmarole. I think for the person, if they're doing their first event, that one's a little bit more laid back. So that's a recommendation that sometimes we've offered to people as well.
What happens when you've got someone who is thinking about doing the I was going to say we could talk about the East Coasters. Are anybody really traveling in January for the light side races in Disneyland in January? What kind of advice? I could tell you right off the bat, I know what you're going to say. Give yourself at least an extra day because of possible weather conditions that may ground your plane.
Yeah, so, I would say if you're going east to west, it's interesting because, yeah, definitely weather, especially if you're looking at the time of year. And I would say that just the three-hour time change probably doesn't affect you as much in that direction. You know, I know that when I've traveled east to west, and like most of others, you're going to be waking up at 3 or 4 a.m. just because that's when your body wants to get up. So that's not as much of a consideration. It also depends on where your hotel is, too, because you have a much shorter commute to the start line. But if you're doing the opposite, if you're going west to east, you better make sure you're there maybe a few days in advance to try to, you know, get yourself ready.
We will continue our discussion with Steve Cantafio, independent vacation planner for MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, on the next episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. So for Steve Cantafio, for Chris Siliopoulos, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.